Thank you, John. Delay is back on, and we are back on track on the Thursday edition of Dr. Brass Stacks. 4341-790, the number you call, 266-4862. Send your WhatsApp messages there, or you can send an email to brassstacks@starcomnetwork.net. John Stout, technical operator, producer, Dennis Johnson, your host. Good afternoon. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
Yes, sir.
You can hear me?
I can hear you clearly.
Very good. Dennis, this is Glenn Clark.
Mr. Clark, good afternoon to you, sir.
Right. When I listened to the program this morning, I thought you made a very interesting political observation. It is so fundamental that I thought I would call and compliment you for making that observation. And this is it, that win or lose, you must stay at the polling station and thank your opponent. And also, I see nothing wrong in your supporters coming to the polling station as well and help to encourage you. I remember in 1991, I lost. I won 5 boxes and my opponent won 5 boxes. But he was more organized than me at the time. But my wife and I, as well as my supporters, remain at the polling station. And we thank Sir Walker. And, of course, and that's how it is. And we told the public then that we will be back. Now, I subsequently heard a recording of what the VLP candidate, said and congratulated Ms. Moore. But I thought that what you said was very important. And I recall that last general election in 2018, Fonda Stewart was at the George Street headquarters all by himself.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so embarrassing. I think that learning from what has happened in the past is important. We, as young politicians, and not so young, must learn from our past. We must look at what has happened in the past and take out the best of what has happened and look at that and see how we can make the future work for us. I want to say, too, that I thought that there were some small problems in the constituency, especially in the last in the election, for example. I believe that many politicians don't look at statistics. Statistics are very important if you want to run a successful campaign. And I thought that the management of our campaign did look at the statistics, look at where we were strong, where we were weak, and to see how you can maximize those things. When them started the campaign, I thought they started out by using cricket. I thought cricket was a good analogy, but they never competed. It was only one match. So I thought that if you have a cricketer coming up against a person who is not a cricket fan, that you should have used that most successfully. I thought that was not used at all. So I felt that the Dems made some errors as well. Not debating was a fundamental error, because Parliament is about debating. I have always said to my people, I am a parliamentarian, and you pay me to talk. Mm-hmm. You must talk, and you must use all opportunities to talk and to debate. Those parties that did not participate in that debate went wrong. The other problem, too, I find, is this, that you have to be able to know that you have to reach out to people. I think that reaching out to people is fundamental in any campaign. You have to walk, you have to talk to people, and there are a number of little things that you need to do. I thought that union, which I call a holy, unholy union, was a bad thing. I thought that the union of leaders that came to St. George was a bad thing. I thought that didn't resonate at all with the people, and to my mind, that did not score any points at all. In fact, it detracted from the whole campaign, and that was bad. When you have leaders who have never won a contest, and you brought them here to say that a person going in as a union boss is wrong. When you know full well that there were other general secretaries who were members of the union and members of a political party. In fact, it was the political party that started the unions in the first place. And throughout the Caribbean, you had leaders who were union bosses.
Prime ministers, well too.
Prime ministers. So yeah. I thought that was a non-point. I thought that was also, it was a very weak point, and people did not see it. There was no problem at all.
But let me ask you this, Mr. Clark, since you know the question of unions. Isn't it also true, however, that general secretaries of unions or even union delegates, persons of high rank or relatively high rank in unions, have found themselves in a position where they've had to make a determination as to where do my loyalties lie? With the people who elected me to parliament or with the people who pay me to represent them, sometimes against the very party that I'm a part of? Because Sir Roy had to make that determination, certainly in the Mr. Sandiford era. And I'm sure there are others who would have had to have done it over the years, albeit at different levels, even going back to the Right Excellent Sir Frank, who's a national hero.
Right. I find that the union boss, recognize that he is a general secretary or she is a general secretary, must stand up for your workers. In a mature political organization, you must be able to look at both sides. You must. There's nothing wrong in you saying in parliament or wherever you are, I represent the workers. I will speak on the workers' behalf. And that's where the Prime Minister has made a point. He wants the union to come to the table to bring more philosophical programs to bear on the programs of government. Mm-hmm. I think this is a mature and a fundamental thing that she's doing. And I don't think, I don't want to compliment her for that. I don't think the other political parties understand that what she is doing. We're in the COVID situation where workers are being laid off. Mm-hmm. So you want to hear what workers, unions have to bring to the table. You want to hear the fundamentals of it. You want to hear something that you do not get from other members. I think this is a good strategy.
What?
And she was not, and listen to me, mm-hmm. she was not scared to say. She told the public the truth every time. Mm-hmm. I wanted to bring somebody who was prepared to do some heavy lifting in parliament. But the other party could not understand what she was doing. I think it has to do with when people are not listening. Now, you can listen to somebody and not hear, or you mm-hmm. can hear but not listening.
Correct.
And I think that's fundamental, that too many of our young politicians may listen
but don't hear.
Or hear but not listen. Listen.
Well, let me ask you this question then, Mr. Clark. How does that reflect, therefore, on something that Barbados has boasted about and shown the world and said, look, this is what we've done, this is what you can mimic, this thing called a social partnership? Because a partnership says that everyone has an equal voice. And I made the comment this morning that we talk about giving the poor man a voice, we talk about giving labor a stronger voice. Capital, however, holds the purse strings, so they just sit back and say, well, yeah, you get the bigger voice, we have the purse. So how does it reflect on the social partnership? I know the PM had said it needs to be expanded, but
right.
How does it reflect on the social partnership if you're saying that Labour's voice in a partnership has to perhaps get an extra boost by being in the lower house, being in parliament, so that you can say, well, I represent the workers, but I represent, the constituency, so I now have a bigger voice, so to speak?
Well, Labour has to be out of the factors of production, land, labour, capital and the entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Labour represents that element of the factors that you have to watch. You have to be very careful because it is something that is really important. So you have to look at the importance of labour. And you want to have more partnership involved, the church, you have to have more people involved in a partnership. And that's what the government is trying to do. you want to involve a wider participation of people. And I think labor is fundamental to moving this country forward. What labor brings to the table is fundamental. Because at the end of the day, we are all people. Mm-hmm. And labor represents the human factor, which is important. So that's why I feel the other parties did not see that element of it. And I think that they have missed the boat in that regard. I think also, I made the point just now, you hear things, but you don't listen mainly. Mm-hmm. For example, some persons were commenting that Tony did not have a program. But the people of St. George really wanted clean and done. It is really a fundamental, though. You have all around us, the Bush and a number of lots that are overgrown. I thought that was one of the areas that the opposition could have zeroed in, because it's something that has happened. But they never did it. But you're looking at a number of programs that high-end programs that make no sense. And, so I believe that we need to look at carefully at where we are going in the future. And obviously, I must say that Floyd is not a bad candidate. I think that he was misled. I thought so. I thought he could have been managed better. But that is a choice that he has made. And I hope that he will continue, because he's a young person, continue in the spirit of what it is. But I believe that the two political parties need to look at the future, bringing young people into the fore, analyzing what has happened in the past, what the elders of our party stood for, so Grant Lee, Errol Barrow, and some of the others, and see how we can modernize them in a modern political party.
Well, talking about future, you're heading back to a future that was part of your past. Opportunities, of course, and times have changed since last you were there. So some of your experiences may have to be reshaped and retooled. Opportunities you see in your new post to help Barbados in this new millennium?
Yeah, I believe that as we go forward, there are a lot of opportunities that can be learned from the countries like Canada, U.S., Europe. I think our social department needs to be geared up. I have always felt that Canada is the mecca, really, for doing things in terms of welfare and those sort of services. I believe that we can learn a lot from them and through partnership. I also believe that as we go forward, the world has now gone through a fundamental change in terms of this pandemic. Mm-hmm. So that the way we do business in the future will have to change. Mm-hmm. Going on ideas where you get on a plane and you go to meetings. Everybody now having a meeting online. So a revolution is going on in our country as you speak. The revolution is technologically driven, and we have to be there. We have to be guarded against. I think we need to look at more technology in our country. How do we use it? We have to look at businesses moving forward in this technological age, and so on. Mm-hmm. So that I see my role. Not, I think the country has to invest in that sort of thing, so that we move Barbados forward, because we are really behind. We are really behind the world as far as technology is concerned.
Well, not only that, Glenn, while the Prime Minister is saying, we need another 80,000 odd people, Canada's stealing our best young people because they're looking for young people to grow their economy too. So we're competing with them on one level, we're trying to see what best we could copy from them. It's a strange balance.
We have a family labor program that has been years ago have used a lot of our young people, mm-hmm, in terms of agriculture and so on. We have horse racing, we have hotel industry and so on. So we're still using the human labor factor.
Right.
But I think we need to look
at hotel workers too.
Yeah, hotel. How can she like Canada can invest? And of course, rum. We have produced a lot of rum in this country over the years, and we have not been able to spend enough investment in terms of letting the world know that we have the finest rum in Barbados. Molasses and so on. We produce a number of other things. I noticed that manufacturing of biscuits and so on on the shelves of Canada, but only two supermarkets have it. So we have to promote Barbadian industry within Canada. We have to be able to promote those industries around the world. Let people know that we stand for something. Also, our culture. We have a unique culture here, but we do not do it. And Prime Minister Arthur, he was at the forefront of spreading the cultural industry abroad. And when you look at it, I have always felt that our culture is unique in terms of things, and in terms of our dishes, in terms of what we produce, and so on and so forth. But we've got to sell Barbados. We've got to sell our culture, and we've got to be able to do it in a unique way so that we will move our economy forward. Because at the end of the day, we have to make a living for ourselves. We have to be able to make a living for ourselves. We have to be able to produce better, more faster, in a direct way. Because, you know, if you look at it, I always say that if you're in Barbados at 5 o'clock a morning, you may very well be talking to somebody in China who would be going to sleep, and vice versa.
Correct.
You see, so that we have to be able to look at a 24-hour industry in Barbados. That we're for it, really. We have been talking about it, but we have to be able to do more in terms of making hours work for us. I think it is true that we have been hours Barbados go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning and go home at 4 o'clock in the evening. But we need to have that second shift. So I think we can have employment generation by having industries set up in Barbados, recognizing the fact that we are part of the global world. You see, and that's where we are. And we have to be practical about it. We have to move forward on it. We have to really talk and do things. And I believe that bringing to bear these programs, we should move forward this country.
I thank you very much for taking the time to share with us, sir. It is certainly good to hear from you. And I wish you all the best in your new endeavors. And I hope that you continue to pass on some of the experience from your days in the field to the younger candidates, because I think some of the success you've reaped in your constituency could not have come from just speaking on radio or speaking on platforms. You must have had to burn some shoe leather somewhere along the way. So the best to you, sir, and thank you very much for joining us. The lunchtime edition of The Latest from a lady who worked really hard last night. And I want to say, let me take my hat off to those who assisted in the broadcast, the technical team, Daddy Biggs, John Sniper, the guys behind the scenes, David Johnson, the team in the studio, of course, you heard them on air. But sometimes those who work behind the scenes, you know, we give them passing reference. But I remember a technical operator telling me once, you cannot go on air unless I put you on air. So, you know, you may be the Lone Ranger, but Tonto running this ship. So, but I have to say, working with Wendy was a pleasure. While I talked, she wrote. While she talked, I wrote. And I think we didn't do too badly, right? Right? Oh, good. And she kept me watered, if not fed. That's the thing about having ladies around you. You always think about little things you don't remember, like a glass of water. 4341-790, the number you call, 266-4862. That's our WhatsApp number. You send a message to that, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Everyone's, of course, concentrating on the front page of Today's Nation and the by-election in St. George North. Coin has two sides. When I looked at the back page of today's newspaper, I again held my head, because the lady on the back page of the newspaper, Roseanne Mayers, is a lady who has been in the hospitality industry for a very long time. She was the driving force behind Atlantis submarines when they came to Barbados. I think she was the marketing manager at the time. Did a sterling job there. You know, for a while has been at the helm, and a lady who understands hospitality, understands the business that we are in. And her comments, absolutely must read for those who still do that. And then the little piece down at the bottom that talks about suspected virus cases on a cruise ship and determining whether or not we will accept and under what conditions. Fading, I suppose, in the euphoria of victory and the agony of defeat. But if we're not to go through the more of the agony of defeat, we need to pay attention to Mrs. Mears' comments on the back page of today's newspaper. Let me tell you why I say that about that lady. At Paradise Beach, you tell the submarine newly arrived in Barbados. I think the only other one was in Hawaii. Paradise Beach Hotel rented the whole sub twice. Once when Condé Nast Publications had a group here and the theme was called The Ladies of Champ, and the second time for a Cunard board meeting. And Mrs. Mears came to the property to find out who was the person or persons who booked the entire sub, not once or twice, or whether they had gone on it, and found out that the person or persons who did it had not. And she not only sent a video monitor to show the guests what the submarine experience was, but also invited the workers at Paradise Beach Hotel in any department, kitchen activities, wherever, to come down to Atlantis Submarines for a free ride on the sub so they would have the experience and could share word-of-mouth experience with their guests. That is hospitality. That is how you build a brand. That is how you get people to spread the message. That is why I have the respect, the admiration, and the love I have for that lady. So when she speaks, I listen. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, there are two little things I want to discuss with you about this election. The first thing is the referendum that I heard the Democrat Labour Party leader saying that this election was on the Barbados Labour Party. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, I don't see any. Because they're still lost. The Democrat Labour Party still lost. I don't see no referendum. And in my opinion, I feel this was the best chance that the Democratic Labour Party had to show the people of Barbados that they are still relevant, in my opinion. And for me, there wasn't a show. In my opinion, the Democratic Labour Party is not relevant in Barbados no more. And the leader got to look at the way that she conduct herself and conduct herself with her members, in my opinion. It is dealing strictly with my opinion, nobody else's one. What do you have to say, DJ?
Nothing.
So me, who said that I get 100% marks, are you?
No, I didn't say so. I just say I ain't saying anything. You making a comment, I listening to you. If you step on the crease or match the crease or step out, I can pull you back. You making a comment.
Honestly, I don't think this was the best time.
Since you want me to say something, let me ask you a question, right?
Yes.
If you believe you can win a match, what do you do?
You get involved in the game.
You feel your best team, sir. Yeah. That's what you do. So if you pick a team that you feel is the best team, you pick a team that will win. If it doesn't win, you say, well, I didn't pick the best team, or perhaps the better team won this match. That's why I use the cricketing analogy. You look around, you say, who do I have? Who's the best that I have? Okay, this is it. That's who I go in with, okay? Because I go in this to win. If I win, I say, right, I picked a champion team, we on top. If I don't win, I say, we picked the best team we could, but the better team won on the day. And you call that Wally. So my challenge is we don't seem to understand, or we seem to have lost what I think is the reason for a political party, a political organization and what it is you're fighting for. Because when I listen to the messages coming from political platforms, supporters on the call-in program, letters to the editor, comments online, I am not seeing or hearing this is the vision we have for our party or our team. This is where we're working. This is what we're doing right. This is what we're not doing right. What I'm seeing is, or what I'm hearing is, I belong to the Democratic Labor Party. Whatever they do, they well do. And one over there so is a bunch of whatever. And what I hear from the other side is, my party in power, where I could stay there and make all the noise when I want, like it or lump it. So that's not how you deal with what I consider to be representation of the people. That's my feeling, and I leave it there.
In my opinion, I agree with you 100%. But the Democratic Party, but I don't know how them can get a foot back into being representing the people of this country.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
I can tell you.
Yeah.
Get a popular, charismatic person and push them up front and say, that's the leader, and see how many people follow them. Because we still like charismatic, popular people up front. We ain't give, to use the Bajan parlance, two walk-ups about policy, structure, outreach, nothing. We have gone to who is the most popular, who could rally the most people behind them, who could, you know, take the best picture, make the most noise, and we following that person till we're dead. So that's a Caribbean political thing that I have become calcified, is what it is. That's why I made the comment this morning, unfortunately the call had gone, about red men politics in Jamaica, because that's what they call it. We just like red men, apparently, to lead political parties. You know, when Mr. Sandiford was the head of the Democratic Labor Party, remember? You remember Calypso? What wrong with Sandy? Glasses too small. He stay away too long. You know, if he dog got air conditioned and all sorts of things. Right?
In my opinion, he was a great man. So maybe go get somebody back to run that party in order to get some,
I don't know. Well, John King in the party, so what? He was a king.
No, not John.
Look, Edwin then. You all get Edwin?
The general.
You see what I mean? You hear what you say? The general would be a good man. That's my point, sir. You see, look. And perhaps that was part of the strategy of young reefer, cricketer, name well known in the constituency. Let's see, you know, how much support it galvanizes. But I don't know if that was a strategy because I don't sit in George Street or Roebuck Street for that matter. I barely sit here so in River Road. And when the river come down, I have to put on my galoshes and walk through the water. But sir, if you look at Caribbean politics, right, and I do that from time to time because I like it. There seems to still be this, who is the popular, charismatic person to lead the party forward. And when that person fails, you know, all tumble down. Jamaica. Jamaica recently had an election for the leader of the opposition where a gentleman ran against a lady who was Miss Jamaica. A beauty contestant, Miss Jamaica. Now, I'm not saying Miss Hannah is not a good political representative. I do not know. But when you see placards, when you see videos extolling her beauty and how nice she looked walking through the constituency, that have nothing to do with how she represents the people in the area. You know, it may make her popular and nice. I mean, the woman look good. But that's the video you can put forward to say that's the candidate? I mean, come on. This strategy may work. But I would sit there and go, nice looking wife, nice looking girlfriend. You know, but where the brain?
You wash it. She had all get a picture tech for
next to her. Correct. And have her kiss me and hug me tight, too.
Of course.